Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. That song tells us, if we'll just look around and see all the things that God cares for, that does not have a soul, He didn't pay for on Calvary. And yet God cares for them, such as the lily or the sparrow. How much more does He care about us? I wish we could learn that and learn to trust Him and live for Him. If you found your place in John chapter 5, would you stand please, and I shall begin to read in verse number 39. Jesus is speaking to a multitude that has been following Him. They loved to hear Him preach, but they loved to see the miracles. Some of them were Pharisees that opposed Him, did not believe Him, rejected Him. And in verse 39, He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of Me." He said, search the Bible. You say you're religious? The Bible testifies of Me, Jesus said. Search the Scripture. The Scripture will tell you the way to eternal life. And then in verse number 40, Jesus said, "And though you have the Scripture, ye will not come to Me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, and you have not the love of God in you. And I am come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. If another shall come in his own name, and him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. When he's saying that, he's talking about the writings of Moses. He's talking about the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And that's what they majored on. And yet they did not know the one about whom Moses was writing. He said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now I want us to go back up to verse 39 and 40. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There are multitudes today who say they are religious. They say they believe the Bible, and yet they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the theme of the Bible is Jesus. The Bible is a Jesus book. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme is Jesus Christ. He said, search the scriptures. Then in verse number 40, he said to these people that claimed to be religious, but yet rejected Christ as Messiah and Savior. And he said, ye will not come to me that you might have life. I want to speak this morning for just a few minutes on the subject, unwilling to come to Christ. Father, help me as I bring this message. Every time I read this passage, my heart is stirred afresh and anew to think that the God of glory came down to this earth, lived and died on an old rugged cross to save sinners. And yet men who know they're on their way into eternity lost will not trust Him, will not come unto Him that they might have life. Now, Lord, I do not know everybody that's here today, but You do. There is not a secret hidden from You. You know our life. You know our condition. You know those that are saved and those that are not. You know those that are living a life of pretense, but they have no certainty in their heart that heaven is their home or Jesus is their Savior. I'm asking You today, Heavenly Father, to use the message and use the Holy Spirit to convict them and show them their need of Jesus Christ. Every person who's ever been saved, including every saved person listening to my voice, had to come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as Savior. I'm asking You to save every unsaved person in this building today. And yea, those beyond this building that are listening to my voice by way of internet, Lord, would You save the unsaved? We'll thank You in advance for what You shall do in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. In Jesus' day, as well as our day, there was a great group of religious people who had rejected Bible truth. I'm amazed today at the number of people in religion that does not believe the Bible is the very Word of God. And the number of people in religion that does not know that they know that they know they're saved. And there is a great move today in the religious world to bring everybody together under the non-denominational category. It doesn't matter what you believe, they say. It does matter. If you have not believed upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not know, you do not have everlasting life, and you will never be saved without coming to Christ and Him alone. Jesus was speaking to the unbelieving religious Jews of His day who had refused to accept Him as Messiah, as the Son of God. They had rejected the witness of John the Baptist, whom they viewed as a prophet. You see, it was John the Baptist that said, pointing to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." They had denied Christ's miracles and His messages. They had refused the testimony of changed men and women who had come to know Christ as Savior. They had rejected the testimony of Scripture. They had rejected the voice of God as Christ at Christ's baptism. When crowds stood on the shoreline and saw Jesus baptized and heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The worst thing about these people was that with all the evidence declaring that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, they would not come unto Him that they might have everlasting life. There's many such people like that today on earth. They have rejected the Word of God. They've rejected the teaching of doctrinal truth. They've rejected Jesus. They want to be religious, but they're putting their trust in human efforts or a religion's efforts or a church's efforts. And they're not trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. No doubt there's some in this congregation today who've heard the messages. You've seen the testimony of changed lives. You've even felt conviction concerning your lost condition as a sinner. And you've even felt perhaps the tug of the Holy Spirit of God at your own heartstrings. You've heard that still small voice within you saying, "Come to Christ that you might be saved." And yet some of you have not come to Christ. Because you have not come to Christ, you are not saved. Your sins are not forgiven. They're against you. Perhaps you'll come out to Sunday school and you'll come out to church and hear about Christ. But you've never invited Him into your life to become your Savior. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes. And I want to sound some warnings so that you'll know the terrible danger you live in, of the danger of not coming to Christ that you might have life. I want you to consider with me what a person rejects when he refuses to come to Christ that he might be saved. First of all, if you have not come to Christ that you might be saved, you're rejecting God's great plan for your salvation. God has but one way for sinners to be saved. God planned it. God provided it. Christ purchased it. He makes it available to any of us. We can come to Him freely by faith and receive that everlasting life. And yet many refuse to come to Christ that they might be saved. Do you think that God has plan B or C for you? I say to you, God only has one way. Jesus said He was the door. He was the way. He was the life. He said, "No man cometh to the Father but by Me." The Bible states plain in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." Salvation, simply stated, is coming to Christ that we might have eternal life. Salvation, though we talk about the plan of salvation, salvation, getting saved, is not accepting a plan. The plan tells us about a person. And that person, Jesus, is the Savior. We are saved not just by accepting a plan, but accepting the Savior, coming to Jesus that we might have life. He is a person. He is a person who paid our sin debt and died the death of a sinner on the cross, enduring the wrath of God against our sin, though He Himself had no sin. Jesus, He is a real living person who lived and died and arose again and is alive today at the right hand of the Father with life everlasting for all who will come to Him as their Savior. Christ's salvation for sinners is not in religion. There's a lot of people in religion, but they don't know Christ personally. You must come to Christ that you might be saved. If all you are is a Baptist, you're not saved. If all you are is a Methodist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or the popular charismatic non-denominational group today, if that's all you are, you're not saved. Religion won't get you to heaven. I say often, what's worse than going to hell from a bar stool is going to hell from a religion's pew. Some religious church somewhere. But you've not come to Christ. Jesus is the only source of salvation and eternal life. The dying thief on the cross did not turn to a plan. He did not turn to a religion. He did not turn to a church. He did not turn to the preacher. He turned to Christ and said, Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. Salvation is a person. Jesus Christ, again I say, is the only source of salvation and eternal life. Being saved is not a natural contact, but a spiritual contact with Christ by faith. And only when we come to Christ by faith, believing He died for our sin and arose again for our justification, are we given everlasting life. Salvation is not by human touch, but by faith. Jesus said unto her, said I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Thank God, the only thing we can do to be saved is believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and it was for me. God intends for us to make that personal. When I look at Christ dying on the cross, I thank God that He died for the world. But what I get excited about is when I realize He died for me. When He was on the cross, the songwriter said, I was on His mind. Make it personal. Salvation is not by feeling, but by trusting in the Savior. Well, there's days I don't feel saved. There's days I hurt, but I'm still saved because I've put my trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Neither salvation by doing. There's only two beliefs concerning salvation. Majority of religious world believes that salvation is doing, trying to get to heaven. But the Bible teaches that salvation is done in Jesus Christ and Him alone. When I accept Christ, I'm accepting a finished, forever salvation. Why would we not come to Christ that we might have life everlasting? Why would we hold out with hell as our eternal future without Jesus Christ? We should think of Christ as the one who died on the cross for us, for me. And He sits now at the right hand of the Father, clothed in honor and majesty and with full salvation for any sinner who will come to Him by faith. Our text implies that we are to come to Jesus for everything spiritual. You see, eternal life includes all that is needed for full and complete salvation. Eternal life encompasses God's grace and God's mercy and faith and forgiveness and righteousness. And I could go on and on and on all the way to a mansion in heaven with my name on it, paid for by the blood of Jesus, free and available to every person who comes to Christ that they might be saved. Whatever it takes to save sinners is provided for us when we come to Jesus to be saved. Coming to Christ by faith is the one and only way a sinner can be saved and receive everlasting life. Coming to Jesus by faith is the way. It's the sure way. And it's the way that's open to anyone who wants to be saved by coming to Jesus Christ. Just come to Jesus that you might be saved. Secondly, allow me to direct this part of the message to all of the unsaved who have heard the gospel but has never received Christ as Savior. I want you to consider for just a moment your position in reference to God's plan for your salvation. You have said by your actions, if you've never accepted Christ, I will not come unto Him that I might have life. By not coming, you have rejected Him. You don't have to close your fist and shake it in the face of God and say, I reject you. Just by not coming to Christ, by doing nothing, you're rejecting Him. You know your need. You've heard the gospel message. And yet to not trust Him, not come to Him that you might be saved, just doing nothing about that need is rejecting Him as Savior. How tragic. You made the greatest mistake of your entire life. The only thing worse than rejecting Christ once is to reject Him twice. You personally rejected God's Son and God's only provision for your salvation. I cannot understand it. I cannot comprehend it. By not coming to Christ, you've shown a complete disregard for your eternal need. You've willfully chosen death and hell over eternal life in heaven. Your rejection of Christ has so much as said, I will let Christ suffer and die in vain as far as I'm concerned. Christ suffered that He might give to us eternal salvation when we come to Him. And that salvation is applied only when we come to Christ that we might have life everlasting. Oh, the terrible, I can think of no greater sin than that of rejecting Jesus as Savior. Lying, murder, robbery, homosexuality, immorality, on and on. I can think of no greater sin than that of rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. Why won't you come to Christ? Your being here today is evident that you realize there is a God in heaven, there is a heaven and a hell. And evidently your being here in a Bible-believing Baptist church says something about your understanding that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus did die on the cross of Calvary to save you and me. Then why won't you come to Him? Why stop at the pew? Why stop at religion? Why don't you give Him all? Why don't you settle it forever? I want you to know to come and be a part of religion without knowing Christ as your Savior is a miserable state. The only state more miserable is that of dying and going to hell without Christ. having sat in a church pew, hearing the gospel preached, and still not trusting Christ. Well, Jesus said in the gospels in that day of judgment, that he'd show more mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah, than he will upon those who hear the gospel and will not come to Christ, that they might have life. What will be the result of not coming to Jesus that you might be saved? What will be the result of it? First of all of this life will have been wasted. You have been brought into this world for God. And by the way, that's the reason all of us are brought into this world. And that's the reason Jesus died on the cross, so we could be saved and honor and glorify God with our life. And to live your life without Christ and to die without Christ is to waste your entire existence on this earth. All of the good intentions to be saved someday have meant nothing at all. And it's too late now. To live without Christ and to die without Christ means that you'll never be saved. There are no second chances after this life. If you lived without Christ and died without Christ, you'll go to hell without Christ forever and forever and forever. Let me finish. It is my hope, and the hope of the majority of the people here, that you'll not leave here today without coming to Christ. If you have walked out before without Christ as your Savior, that you'll have a change of heart and mind today, and you'll come to Christ that you might be saved. No matter how many times you have refused, no matter how many invitations you've said no to, I want you to know if you'll say yes today, Christ will receive you. If you'll come unto Him, He'll give you everlasting life today. No matter how many times you've put off coming to Christ, you've said, I'll do it next week, and next week's never come. If you'll come to Him today, He'll give you life everlasting. You see, Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary to send you to hell. You and I were already on our way to hell, and the reason He came and died was so that we could be saved. And to reject Jesus is to choose your eternal destiny in hell over eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm overwhelmed by this text. You will not come to me that you might have life. I've heard people say, now preacher, God and I have this thing worked out, that He's going to accept me on these terms. No. You're believing the devil. God hadn't made no such terms. Do you think God would send His Son to the cross of Calvary, put all of your sins and mine upon Him, judge Him there in our place, and then accept you when you reject Him and approve of some other way that would not require His dying? It'll never happen. God provided one way at the greatest possible cost. God completed one way with the greatest possible sacrifice, Jesus Christ, His own Son. And God has provided the greatest possible gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, simply by sinners coming to receive Him by faith. Faith means just believing upon Him. You say, how do I know if I had enough faith to get saved? God gave you the faith with which you believed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have enough faith to ask Him to save you, God said, that's enough faith. And all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He's ready to receive you. He's prepared salvation. He's purchased salvation. He's made available salvation. He stands with arms outstretched, ready to receive you. And He's promised that all who will come unto me, I will not cast one out. He has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yet, He has recorded in His Word, and some of you would not come unto me that you might have life. May I say to you, if you are that person and you will not come unto Him, you're going to live as you are and die as you are, you'll stand before Him with no excuse. You'll stand before Him with and there'll be no mercy. You'll stand before Him and face the most awful eternity that the human mind could comprehend. Not because God did not love you. Not because God did not provide for you. But because after His love and His sacrifice and paying the price for our salvation, you would not come unto Him that you might have life. May God help us. May that not be said of any member of my family. May it not be said by those that are listening to me today. And may it not be said by you who are here today and have an opportunity to trust Him as your Savior. I don't know why we ought not run to Him. I don't know why we ought to not trust Him with all our heart. I don't know why we come up with flimsy excuses, except we're listening to the devil and not the Holy Spirit of God. He stands this morning with arms outstretched. Have you come to Him? Do you know that you know that you know you're saved? Is it settled in your heart? Can you put your head on your pillow at night and know that if you died, you'd go to heaven because you came to Jesus that you might have life everlasting? Or do you live in doubts and uncertainty and fear? You want to go to heaven. You certainly don't want to go to hell, but you don't know for sure you're saved. What's holding you back? Sometimes we let our sin hold us back. Sometimes we let our pride hold us back. Sometimes we let a loved one or a boyfriend or girlfriend hold us back. God knows when it comes to heaven or hell, and the only way is Jesus. Nothing ought to keep us from coming to Him that we might have life everlasting. Father, that's our message this morning. The great majority of the people hearing my voice right now are saved. And I'm grateful.